The number one addiction today? Alcohol. Drugs. Nope, none of those. The answer might surprise you. My name is Barry Mitzman. A few years ago, I was able to do it all. But when illness struck, my life was turned completely upside down. The smallest of tasks became the biggest of challenges. But now that I'm on the road to healing, I ask myself, will I ever be able to once again do it all? Do I even want to do it all? WOV is an exploration of what we as women can do to create our best selves and to be able to lead a great life, a happy life, a WOV life. What's up, WOVs? Welcome back to another episode of the WOV Life. Today, we have a very special guest. She's awesome. She's fun. She's multilingual. We go way back. Introducing Yaffa Palti.
Hi, Yaffa. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just before we start, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and one thing that you love about yourself.
Okay. First of all, hi, Barry. Thank you for inviting me here. Hi, everybody who's listening. I'm really excited to be here. So a little bit about myself. Not quite sure where to begin. I guess I'll say just very, in a nutshell, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in a highly concentrated Orthodox community, got married, moved to Israel, lived there for 7 years, moved to Mexico City. I lived there for 11 years. And about 2 years ago, I moved to San Diego, California. So I lived in three different countries. I should say four, because New York and California are seriously different countries. I lived all over, literally all over the place. You'd think I'd be fluent in three languages, but instead I am semilingual in three languages. That is, in a nutshell, who I am right now. And here I sit in San Diego, in the most beautiful city, after Jerusalem, of course. And yeah, so one thing I love about myself. Yeah, is that the next question?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, the truth is, I really just said like where I live and stuff. If you want to know a tiny bit more about what I do, I guess maybe that's what your question was. My husband is the rabbi of a community here in San Diego, which by default makes me the Rebbitzin. And I am by profession an addictions professional. I do not work as one though. I mean, it comes in handy within my work, but you know, I do a lot of, I'm a motivational speaker. So I do a lot of speaking and that leads to the follow up with one-on-one relationships and a lot of counseling and coaching and stuff like that. So that comes in handy in that area. But basically I am a Torah educator. And it just manifests itself in all those different ways. So being a rabbitan, so being a speaker, so being a teacher.
I didn't know that you were an addictions counselor.
Oh, yeah. By profession, that's what I am. Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't even go into that because that's what I wanted to be. I was really always an educator. That was really kind of my dream and my goal. Well, when I say always, I mean from when I reached mature making decisions about anything. But I was teaching. I lived in Israel, and I was teaching in all different seminaries. And one year, I was in about six different seminaries. And in just that year, I think I noticed about 20 students who had some sort of eating disorder. And it really struck me. And I said, I really want to understand what this is all about. I want to really just learn more about eating disorders and what it comes from. So that's when I went back to school. I was already living in Israel. And I went back to school over there. And I studied, I took, for a few more years, I got another degree in addictions. So I learned all about it. So not because I wanted to be an addictions professional, but because I wanted to be a better teacher.
You saw the need for it.
I saw the need for it. Yeah, I wanted to understand my students a little more. And I wanted to understand the world that we live in a little more. So that's why I did it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So then, I'm so happy I did it because, you know, as the years go by, it's much more and more needed. And obviously I meet so many people in my job as a motivational speaker and I prefer to call it actually a transformational speaker because I feel like motivation is just a tiny tip of the iceberg. It's kind of me telling you what to do. Transformation means you deciding what to do and making those changes in your life. So when I go around and I meet so many different people in so many different cities, I see more and more and more about how important it is to understand addiction, and especially in our day today. Even when I went back to school, we weren't even addicted yet to the things we're addicted to today. It used to be just, substances, you know, and drugs and alcohol and food and stuff like that. Now it's addicted to shopping and to consuming and to iPhones and to technology and to everything. So, you know, it comes more and more in handy understanding what it comes from.
Why do you think that we've developed so many different addictions in recent years?
I think a few things. I think the easier life gets, the more bored we are. I think people are very, very bored. And I don't just mean bored in what they do day to day, because some people do work really hard, but we're still bored. I think we're bored in our comfort zones. We're bored in where we are in life. We don't really challenge ourselves too much. Everything, because life is so easy, things are just given to us. We just expect things more. We feel more entitled about things. We have become a society that we are much more focused on our rights than on our responsibilities. You know, I have a right to do this. I have a right to get this. I have a right to be this. I have a right to say this. But I don't have any responsibility for anything I'm doing or seeing or saying or being, right? So we just have developed into these people who kind of, we're bored, we don't challenge ourselves enough, we need to get things, I think we're living in consumer mode. So in consumer mode where, the danger in that is that we always kind of feel like we're in lack, you know? I need this and I need that because I feel incomplete without it. You know, if I don't have another one of this and another one of that and more of this and more of that. And, even things that are not so tangible, even things that are more abstract, if I don't have this validation, if I don't have that validation, I feel like I'm in lack. I'm not a complete person. I depend on all of that for my completion. And you and I, you know, we know obviously that it's not going to complete us because we're just going to keep wanting more and more and more. We're never going to be satisfied, you know? So I think as long as we're living in this place of lack where we don't feel complete with who we are, we just want more and more and more. And that is what actually leads to addiction. We just keep needing more and more. We never have enough of it. Because addiction, I don't know, people might argue with me because I don't know if everyone truly agrees with this or not, but from what I have understood from not only based on what I've learned in my skills, but also from what I've learned, I think even more in my experience with people and from also viewing the concept of addiction, you know, just from the Torah perspective, I really think that it's not the substance that we get addicted to. It's the lack that we feel inside that we need to fill with something or replace with something or something that we just, either we want something to stop or we want something to begin, you know? And I think a lot of that, you know, I want something to start, something that I don't have in my life and I need it, or something that I have and I don't like it. And that's kind of what brings us to these addictions. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that is when we don't fully understand how to accept who we are and the life we were given and the place that we're in, and we don't understand the importance of every single thing that we have in life. We have because that's what we need. And if we don't have it, we don't need it. If we do have it, we need it for something. Either we need to learn how to deal with it or we need to learn how to let it go. It's something for our personal growth. And as long as we learn how to accept ourselves for the way we are, the authentic me, that's really the only way to happiness. You know, I think that's really what authenticity is. It's right. You know, like learning to let go of who we think we're supposed to be or what we think we want or what we think we need, and to just be who we are and embrace who we are and embrace what we have. That's really, really what true authenticity is.
It's very interesting that you touched upon the concept of shopping addiction. Can you go a little bit more into that?
Sure. Regarding the feeling of lack. I mean, truthfully, I think that, I'll talk about myself personally. I really feel like I used to be a big shopaholic, and I'm going to say used to, and I'll explain where I am right now in that. I love consuming. I love buying things. I see something pretty. Okay, I have an artistic eye, which is weird because I'm not an artist. I'm not really, I'm more creative, but I do have an artistic eye. And I love color and I love fun and I love, you know, many people hate shopping, the act of actual shopping. They love to buy things maybe, but they don't like to shop. I love to shop. I can be in a mall all day. Like, I just love it, you know. And 6 years ago, I lost my father and I was in Avelos for the year. I was in my year of mourning. And part of what that year entails is that you can't buy new things. No new clothing, no new accessories, no new anything. And I'm going to share something very personal with you right now because it's something that I'm actually, I was embarrassed about it for a little while until I learned to accept it. And now I totally let it go and I'm okay with it. But it's just, here's where I was standing at that time. Okay. This was only 6 years, almost 7 years ago. In September, it will be 7 years. And my father was on his deathbed. Okay. He was in the hospital and myself and most of my siblings were standing around his bed. I had a newborn baby at the time. So I had hired someone to watch my baby in the lobby so that I can be upstairs with him.
I think that was me, by the way.
What was you?
I think I was that person. Yep.
Oh my gosh. What? Wait, I know I hired someone else, but you are. You were there. You were probably didn't hire. You probably just did it to me as a favor then.
Yeah. I got a call.
I'm totally remembering that now. How did I not remember?
I don't know.
That's so funny. That was okay, me. Because there's a lot going on in my mind out there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is hilarious, by the way. Barry, thank you for watching my baby for me.
It was an opportunity I felt that I needed to seize. And luckily I was close by.
I am so happy you reminded me. Oh my gosh. You know what? And it's now I'm remembering. You came after the other person had to leave. Because I'll tell you what happened in between. What happened was, okay, that's hilarious. I love that this just happened. Okay, so what happened was I had hired someone to watch my baby. She was actually my father's aide for a while. And I asked her to watch what the baby for me. And I was upstairs in the room and my siblings and I were all around my father's bed. And it was, obviously a serious moment and we didn't know how much longer he had. We knew that it was getting towards the end and we were standing there and we were singing his song. We were singing all his favorite songs. It was a beautiful moment. We were all standing around, some of us holding hands and just singing and singing and singing for hours, all of his favorite songs. And it was just like a very, very special moment. And then, the nurse came and then we had to leave for something. They were doing something with him. They were trying to figure something out. And the nurse came in. Of course, we had thought it was literally going to be any minute. The nurse came in and she said, based on what she sees is going on, we have about 10 more hours. At the same time, the person who was watching my baby then said she had to leave. It was already hours that she was there. So I said, fine, no problem. I was going to go back down to my baby and we had 10 hours anyway. Now, what is the first thing that crossed my mind? I get down to the lobby and I'm with the baby. And I said, okay, my father has 10 more hours to live. I can't go up now anyway because I didn't have anyone to watch him. And I said, for the next year, I am not going to be able to buy anything. Okay, this is what went through my mind. For the next year, I will not be able to buy anything new. And I really need a new Shaco. I am going to run right now to buy a new Shaco. Could you believe that? I literally took my baby. I ran into the car. I flew off to Milano because they were like the closest and the only place I knew that I could just run into on the spot without an appointment or whatever. I ran into Milano Wigs. I just tried on like three different ones, you know, running. I'm like literally in the back of my mind. I'm like, my father is dying. My father is dying. Like it was like this crazy like mix of emotions, but I needed a Shaco. I needed a Shaco. Define need, please. You know, the truth is I hadn't bought one in a few years. Like I really felt like I needed a new one, but you know, and there I was, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying it on, and I asked her to cut it for me. And then I get a phone call. One of my sisters called me, and she's like, Abba has 20 minutes left, literally 20 minutes. I threw everything there. I just threw the Shaco down. I grabbed my baby. I threw the credit card on the counter. I said, please charge me right now. I have to go, and I'll pick it up later. Someone will pick it up, whatever. I ran, got back to the hospital. I missed it by, like, 30 seconds, literally. I think that's when one of my sisters probably called you to come. So that's when I dropped the baby off. I guess it was you. And I ran upstairs and I was still able to, you know, be in the room for the last, you know, few moments when they were covering him or whatever. But I literally missed the last few seconds because I was so busy buying my Shaco. you know. It turns out there were in 10 hours. Obviously, not this stuff is never really accurate. That's consumer mode. That's consumer mode, you know. And it doesn't mean that my father was not important to me. He was the most important thing to me at that moment. But I was so much, I didn't even tell my family where I went. I was embarrassed, you know, and I didn't tell anyone about this story for a while because it was so embarrassing. Like, my father was dying and I'm running and buying a Shaco, you know. And then, and by the way, I was never really able to wear that Shaco. It just felt so horrible wearing it. You know, I got rid of it almost immediately. The point is that I had a whole year after that happened of not buying anything. And I kind of felt like this was such a big lesson to me. Such a big lesson that, you know, define need. What does it mean I need something? What are my priorities right now? How much do I have? What do I want? And what do I need? And when I want it, why do I really want it? What's the reason? Where did that want come from? And why do I feel like it's even a need? And I learned something that year that was so eye-opening to me. I learned that I could appreciate beauty and I could appreciate things without having to consume them. I used to go to the mall with friends or with my kids. I would go to the mall and I would just look around and I would point, you know, in a store and I'd say, oh my gosh, I love that skirt. It is so beautiful. I don't have to own it. I can just appreciate its beauty, you know? And that's really what I learned that year. I could appreciate beauty and I can appreciate whatever it is that I like. I don't have to own it. And that really stayed with me for a while. You know, that concept of you don't have to have it just because you like it. So that helped me also work on feeling completion from within, not needing something else to make me feel whole, not needing something else to validate me. And I think that sometimes when we have a shopping addiction, what we're doing is we're just trying to fill that hole, fill that lack. We're just buying and buying and buying because we're in consumer mode. Consumer mode means we're feeling lack.
Right.
We're feeling like that is going to make me happy. I don't feel happy. That's going to make me happy. Those shoes are going to make me happy. And truthfully, you know, I do believe in physical pleasure. I believe that shoes can actually make you happy. I believe that food can actually make you happy, that the perfect wig and the perfect skirt can make you happy. But how long will that happiness last?
Right.
You know, it'll last whatever until you get all the likes you want on Instagram. It'll last until you get blisters on your feet from wearing those shoes. Until you need the next pair of shoes. That's how long the happiness lasts, which might be the next day.
There are people that get very upset when you compare or use the word addiction in regard to things other than substances. Is there
right
any logic behind that? Is that a valid argument, or is there actually any scientific evidence that there can be addictions to other things, though the results aren't necessarily as catastrophic?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The truth is, I don't know. I cannot quote for you any scientific evidence right now. I do know that there have been studies done. And I can find, if you want, I can find any links for you and I can send them to you afterwards. Okay. I know that there have been studies done where they did testing like this. They really, really did testing to show whether or not something is actually only a substance that can become addictive, or if there is something within the person. And the truth is, I mean, you can use any kind of example. I mean, people are in the hospital for any kind of injury, a physical injury, and they could be given some pain medication that actually has substances within it that people get addicted to. But yet, the majority of the people do not find themselves getting addicted to these pain meds because they don't feel the need to have to keep taking them. You understand? When
right.
people keep taking them, they're doing it because they are trying to fill themselves up with something, whatever it is that they feel they keep needing more and more of. And I'm not saying they're not legitimate or valid. They might very well be. But the point is that they're creating this addiction. Most people can take pain meds when they need them and then stop taking them as soon as they don't need them anymore. Because they're not, so that shows us that it's not necessarily the substance itself that is always the addiction. Now, some things are. Heroin We're not going to get into all the details, but I don't think it's even possible, really, to, you know, not get addicted to something like heroin after a couple of uses. There are some things that really are, you know, maybe very controlling over a person. But there's no doubt that there are other things that is an addiction. And we don't even need scientific proof because you can just define addiction. You know, how would you define addiction? What do you think addiction actually is?
Putting the item or the obsession, quote unquote, in front of other important priorities and dropping your regard for those important priorities for the sake of satisfying that quote unquote need.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the truth is, an addiction is putting something that controls you instead of you controlling it, something that takes over another part of your life. Addiction, it can be something that is a substance, a thing, or an activity. I mean, there's sex addiction. There's no substance in there, right? People are, and it is absolutely an addiction. There's food addiction. There's nothing in food that is actually a substance like nicotine or whatever it is that can become addictive. It's something that you're making addictive, right? So you absolutely can have, it is really a dependency. It's when you become dependent on something to fill whatever need it is. And often it's when it takes over another part of your life. That's really what addiction is. And there's no doubt in my mind that it does not only have to be an actual substance. It can be a thing. It can be an activity. It can be a habit, any kind of dependency.
So what do you think the most common addiction that exists today is?
The most common addiction today, believe it or not, is porn. Actually.
Okay.
Surprisingly, but it really is because it's so easy today. It's so easy. It used to be that if somebody wanted to look at any kind of, you know, pornography at all, even a Playboy magazine, you know, they'd have to like hide everything. People have to run to some kiosk on their lunch break, you know, buy the magazine, put it under their suit jacket, go back to work, hide it somewhere, bring it home, hide it behind the toilet, you know, and look at it in the bathroom. Today, you just flip on your phone and, you know, hide wherever you want and watch whatever you want and do whatever you want. So porn has become, and also it used to be a mostly male activity. Today, there is an equal amount of females who watch porn as well. And it's not 100% equal, almost equal. But many, many females are also watching porn today. It has definitely become a very large addiction. And again, pornography, there's no substance there. There's no substance. It's an activity. It's a habit, right? It's an action. That's the addiction.
Right.
And I do think that being a consumer is a very, very big addiction today as well. I think our technology, most people in the world are addicted to their technology on some level or another. Absolutely. Especially the younger generation are very, very much addicted to their technology. I mean, people freak out. People panic when they don't. You know how many people I know have a hard time, you know, keeping Shabbos just because they have to shut their phones off. That's the only reason. It's not that they don't like Shabbos. It's not that they don't appreciate Shabbos. It's not that they don't love everything about it. They can't shut off their phones. It literally gives them palpitations to shut their phones off.
Wow.
So that's pretty frightening. It's pretty frightening.
Yeah, I know people. I thought that the number one thing that you were going to say was the digital concept, but pornography. Wow, that just opened up my my mind. I was just shocked when you said that. But that's the reality of today.
That's why I said, believe it or not. Yeah, that's the reality. And by the way, it's connected to technology because the reason it has become so available is because of technology. But what do people do with the technology? The number one addiction in technology would be pornography. But technology is way up there, way up there. It's everybody.
So what steps do you think people can do? I'm going to say that again, just because I didn't want to cut you off. Do you want to finish what you were saying?
Sure. No, I was just going to say that I actually have two sisters who don't even own cell phones. And it's like, it's mind blowing when they tell people, And it's not because they can't, it's because they don't want to. That is their philosophy. They say, I don't need to be taken over by the cell phone. I work all day. If they want to reach me at work, they know my number. I'm home at night. They want to reach me at night. They know my number. If they want to reach me when I'm at the supermarket, too bad. Wait till I get home, you know, and they don't want to be taken over by this, by technology. And people don't understand it when they say, what's your cell phone number? And they're like, I don't have a cell phone. And they just stare at them like, where are you from? What just happened? You know, don't even understand it, what that means not to have a cell phone. It's very rare, very rare.
Well, so, you come from a family of like, yeah. You come from a family of people who march to the beat of their own drum. So I'm not surprised.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's for sure. And I'm proud of that. I'm honored to be a part of that for sure.
I love that.
Sorry, I do. But what were you just going to ask?
What are some steps that people can take, whether it's the addiction to technology or the consumer mentality, practical steps that people can take to try to reevaluate their priorities and make a shift toward changing that mentality?
Well, truthfully, I think everything begins with self-acceptance. Everything really, really starts, because all of these things are just reactions to symptoms. They're, you know, to say, I will not use my iPhone anymore or these hours. I mean, of course it helps to say, I'm going to put my phone down. I'm sorry that I keep saying iPhone for all you Android users. I'm so terribly sorry. I'm an iPhone person. I tried Android and it was so complicated. I think maybe I'm just simple-minded, but I'm like, no thanks. Give me my iPhone back. But anyway, so your phone, to say, let's put it down for a few hours every day. Of course that can help. And you know, any step helps, but I really like to take things from the root, because that's the way to make lasting change and not just temporary change or not just react to a symptom, you know? And I think that the reason we become addicted is, again, because we're feeling some kind of lack. We feel this need. What are we addicted to? If you think about it, when we're picking up our phones, what are we want? What are we looking at the most? Are we chatting with people? Are we checking how many followers we have on social media? Are we checking how many likes we got? Are we buying things online? What is it that we're doing that we keep picking up our phones? So we need to take it from there and see, and then ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Let's get down to the bottom. Why do I feel the need to have to be connected constantly 24 hours a day? Why? Why do I need to be connected? Am I not satisfied with just connecting to myself and to the people around me in my real life that I see on a day-to-day basis? So maybe that's the place to work on it. Feeling complete from within. It's so funny because I met someone yesterday. I live in San Diego. There are not that many from people here at all. It's very rare. I find someone like from, and there's one kosher supermarket. There's one supermarket that has a kosher section in it. That's the only place you meet people. And I literally like follow them down the aisles. I'm like, what are you doing here? Hey, who are you? You know, it's like the most exciting thing. So that actually happened yesterday. I literally was stalking this family that I saw walking down the aisles. I'm like, excuse me. Hi. Who are you? What are you doing here? You know? And then we just had a really fun conversation. And at the end of it, she was like, okay, let's be in touch. And I said, sure. Are you on Facebook or Instagram? And, you know, cause it's the easiest way to be in touch that way. I'm not going to start sending texts, but if you want to be in touch with me, it's just so easy to social media, you know? So she looked at me and she goes, no. She goes, no, are you kidding? That's for bored people. And it was so eye-opening to me to hear that. Like, she was a person who seemed so satisfied in her life. And I'm not saying I agree with her necessarily, it's only for bored people. I'm just saying she was so satisfied in her life. She just felt like, what do I need to kind of waste my time, as she feels, you know, connecting with other people out there when I have such a fulfilling life right where I am, you know? And it was nice to hear that and see that. So, you know, I really feel that if we can feel satisfied with who we are and not live in lack, live in completion within ourselves, and that can only come from within. It cannot come from external validation, or cannot come from external substances or things or activities. It has to come from accepting the complete package of who we are and just saying, this is who I am, the good, the bad, and the even more beautiful. Okay, because there is no ugly, because whoever we are, Hashem made us this way. He made me with every part of me, and God don't make mistakes. You know, He made me like this for a reason. I have to just accept it. And what I have in my life, I have because I need it. What I don't have, it's because I don't need it. And I need to just be completely satisfied with who I am and with the life that I have. And I have to live in the moment that I have right now. And once I do that, once we fully accept that package, that's the first step to inner completion and to not feeling, not being in consumer mode where we just need everyone and everything out there for our own validation. Does this make sense?
Yes. Self-awareness and really just taking an accounting of what your priorities are, what you're struggling with, what you're spending most of your time with. That's some really solid advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really what I believe is the key. Just get down to the root, you know, get down to the bottom of it. What's causing this?
Right. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Yaffa. If people want to get in touch with you or hear or see more of you, how can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. I'm a little more on Instagram these days than on Facebook. As soon as I joined Instagram, I instantly felt like 10 years younger. So that's where I stay. that's where it's happening. You can definitely find me there. And from there, you can reach out to me. And, like, you know, you can DM me with any questions or things or whatever it is that you'd like to talk about. Absolutely. I'll be happy to speak to any of you, to meet all of you. And I love what you're doing here, Barry. I love this new podcast. I love these interviews that you're going to be doing. And I am super excited to be one of the first ones on here.
Yes.
This is exciting. Yeah, but this was really, really a lot of fun. So thank you for the opportunity. And we'll definitely be in touch. I'll see you on the wildlife.
Yes. Thank you so much again for joining. And again, if anybody wants to find Yaffa, you can find her on Instagram or on Facebook at Yaffa, Y-A-F-F-A, Palti, P-A-L-T-I. Find her, message her, follow her. She's fantastic. You're going to love her. I already know that I love her. And yeah, thanks so much again. Of course. We've known each other for a long time.
Totally mutual. We do. We're almost sisters.
Almost.
Yes, definitely.
Almost.
We go way back. All right.
Thanks again. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the WOB Life. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the WOB Life. Thanks for listening.